Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, The Ideal Family Life, Text Number 9. Purigostra kara marka kau. Sari grish kaga makshika. Atmana putravat pashet. Paryesham antaram kiyat. Mriga, deer. Ustra, camels. Kara, asses. Marka, monkeys. Aku, mice. Sarishrip, snakes. Kaga, birds. Makshika, flies. Atmanaha, of one's own self. Putravat, like the sons. Pashet, one should see. Tai, with those sons. Esham, of these animals. Antaram, difference. Kiya, how little. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should treat animals, such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds and flies, exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's home. Even in ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a household dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's children, without any envy. Like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore a Krishna-conscious person, even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production. And sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all the properties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, why should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of society, but we do not think that there can be any better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they also should have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. Brigostra kara makaku sari spri kaga makshikaha atmanak putravat pashet tar esham antaram kiyat. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there is actually between children and these innocent animals. The laws of karma are such that the living entities may, or the human beings may have an opportunity to kill other living entities. But that doesn't mean they're not going to get a reaction for it. Some living entity may have the karma, he's supposed to be killed, but it's not that the human being should step forward and volunteer to kill them. Otherwise, they get a reaction. Reaction means that whatever you do to one living entity, you'll get that in return. Now, the purpose of human life is to develop bhakti, namely love for Krishna. And if one loves Krishna, as it says, yata tura mula, ise chinena tripdyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka pranaharascha yatendriyanam tataiva sarvatmana atuteja. Just like if one waters the root of the tree, then actually the water goes to all the leaves and branches. If one supplies food to the stomach, then naturally all the different parts of the body is satisfied. And if one worships Lord Achyuta, then the demigods and all other living entities will be satisfied. If one worships Achyuta, Krishna, then one will also see things as they are. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kyanena tutad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashiti tatpuram. One, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. In other words, if we actually become Krishna conscious, then we'll see things as they are, and we'll see that all living entities are spiritual beings just like we are. They may be in one body or a different body, as one may be in one car or another car, but because one is in one car, a Cadillac, it doesn't mean they become a Cadillac. And if one is in a Volkswagen, it doesn't mean they become a Volkswagen. They're simply the passengers in that particular car. Similarly, living entities ourselves, we may be in one body or another, but we should not become envious. Envious in the sense that because we're in a superior body where we can harm or molest other living entities, therefore we should utilize that in the opportunity in the mode of ignorance and then find ourselves in a similar situation in the future. Instead, as it says here, or will say, that the householders, they should provide for all the living entities, as if they were their own children. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihastini shuni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshana. That a learned person, the humble sages, by virtue of the true knowledge, see with an equal vision the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani, the brahmana, the cow, the dog, and the dog eater. It's not that the soul is the same, but due to their past activities and desires, one has gotten the body of a brahman, someone else has gotten the body of a cow or a dog. But that's not the end of the story. We're not going to be a brahman forever, nor will the dog be a dog forever. As Magrari the hunter found out from Narada Muni, Magrari the hunter was trained to half kill animals and take pleasure in watching them suffer. So, that is not the purpose of life, is to see others suffer. One may derive pleasure in the mode of ignorance, but we can hardly say that it's pleasure to watch others suffer. Real happiness is to watch others become Krishna conscious and get their wake up to their relationship to Krishna. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about people or souls who awakened to their relation with Krishna. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendently enjoyable. It's not about people who are tortured incessantly, and that's the end of the story. That's not the moral of Srimad Bhagavatam. is to watch people, learn how to torture people, watch them suffer. But it's to wake them to Krishna consciousness and how happy people become when they actually become aware of Krishna. How much transcendental pleasure they experience. But because people are in ignorance, because they don't know the goal of life, the happiness in life is to obtain Krishna consciousness, therefore dharashi aye bahir artamani na. Therefore they take something completely insignificant, or even something which is horrible, as very important. So Mograri the hunter was half killing animals, as his father had taught him, and he was taking pleasure to watch them suffer. That's modern men. The whole society, modern society, which is not human society, it's animalistic society. That's what they do. There's even one country where their sport, their national sport, is to kill the symbol of religion, the bull. And those who are not directly killing the symbol of religion, the bull, they're eating the bull. They're eating the animals, the cow, the bull. They're eating them. And they're taking pleasure that now I've lorded over, I'm controlling this animal, or this, even the carrot. And that mentality is also sinful. The very mentality of lording it over the material nature and then trying to enjoy it produces lust and anger and greed, which covers the soul. And instead of experiencing love, one actually experiences as Krishna says, lust is never satisfied and it burns like fire. So anything we take and we try to lord it over in the material world, whether it be a carrot or an animal or another person, if that's the mentality, then we have to suffer. Both by the very activity, the mentality we have, and the future, we get a reaction for it. But Murugari Uttakanda was so sinful, he would half kill the animals and leave them flapping, watching them die, and enjoying it. So Narada Muni was traveling, and he came across half-killed animals, and he was wondering who could be so sinful as to do this. And then he saw this hunter, Murugari, shooting arrows into the animals and watching them half die. And Narada Muni stepped forward, and all the animals fled. And Murugari was very angry at Narada Muni, who was going to curse him. But due to Narada Muni's presence, the Murugari the hunter became pacified. And he said, "My dear sir, why are you disturbing my hunting?" And Narada Muni said, "Why are you half killing animals and watching them suffer? Don't you realize how much karmic reaction you're going to get for this?" Murugari, Mariga means animal, and Ari means the enemy of the animals. So he said, "But my father taught me this. It's a tradition to half kill animals. And I get great pleasure from watching them flap and die." Imagine what kind of pleasure he was getting. See, what's wrong with it? It's a family tradition. I'm just following what my ancestors have always done. So Narada Muni was so powerful, he was able to reveal to him, "Well, now you're killing these animals, but in the future you'll become an animal, they'll kill you and watch you die. What do you think about that?" So Murugari said, "Well, that doesn't seem like a very good thing." He said, "Well, what to do?" He said, "Well, go home." Well, first of all, he offered Narada Muni some deer skin or lion skin or a tiger skin. "What would you like?" He said, "Well, that's all right, keep it. Save it." "I suggest you go, you give away all your skins and everything else, and you simply stay in your house and you chant Hare Krishna." Which he did, and of course, the reputation of Murugari now had changed because he was initiated by a great devotee, Narada Muni, and he was now sitting in his house chanting Hare Krishna. So people came to see him and they offered him all kinds of food. So he had no problem for food and he could happily chant Hare Krishna. So when Parvati Muni heard about this, he wanted to see this hunter, former hunter, And he went with Narada Muni to visit his disciple. And when his disciple saw Narada Muni, he started to run to him, but then would stop. Parvati Muni was very surprised by this man stopping. He said, Narada Muni said, because he's seeing ants crawling on the ground. If you want to see ants, you can also come to my room. There's full of ants.
They're crawling everywhere.
Looking for something to eat. We're not so generous right now. Maybe they'll go somewhere else to find something. So he was always stopping. And Narada Muni said, because he's seeing some ants on the ground, he doesn't want to disturb them. Like Jared Bharat, who was carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana. But he was carrying it away. That was causing a disturbance because the three other palanquin carriers were Shudras. They didn't care if they stepped on an ant or not. But Jad Bharat was very careful. He wouldn't step on any ant. And therefore, the palanquin was being carried unevenly. So similarly, Parvati Muni was amazed that now this former hunter who took pleasure in half killing animals now will not even kill even an ant. So such is the vision, Vidya Vinaya Sampane. This is the beginning of human life, actually. Without that, there's no question of humanity becoming human. As the great pundit said, Chanaka Pandit, Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu Lostravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yakpashiti Sapanditaha. That a pundit, person who has some knowledge, who is in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada said the mode of human life begins in the mode of goodness. That a pundit, he sees all living entities to be just like himself. He's not envious that God is insufficient. Just like nowadays, the mentality is this insufficiency. Because they're atheists and demons, therefore they don't understand that God can supply whatever is necessary. Just like Prithu Maharaj, he was actually churned out of the thighs of King Vena by the sages. And he became the king, the ruler of the world. But the world at that time, due to the sinful activities of King Vena, was suffering from lack of food grains. So Prithu Maharaj pursued Mother Earth in the form of a cow and threatened to kill her if she didn't supply the food grains to the citizens. But she said, why should I supply food grains? There's so many demons. Why should I feed the demons? So therefore I'm protecting the food grains from the demons. If there's a shortage of food or supplies, either now or in the future, it's because Mother Earth is not allowing the demons to eat. Why should she strengthen the demons? We're causing trouble to her. So the shortage is the shortage of Krishna consciousness. If Krishna consciousness is there, then the material nature will supply all the necessities. This is in Bhagavad Gita. Devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavayantuva parashparam bhavayanta kshek param bhavapsita ishtan bhogan hivo deva dashante jagava bhavitaha taradita apradaya ibyo yopungte stena evasaha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods supply all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these necessities without offering to the demigods in turn sacrifice, enjoys only sinful activities. The Mother Earth, material nature, will supply necessities, but not, she'll restrict it from the demons. And if everyone's a demon, everyone's treating all living entities as if they're the lords and the enjoyers of every living entity, to the point where they enjoy watching others suffer. The Mother Material Nature will not supply food grains to further their sinful activities. Out of kindness to them, she'll make it very difficult for them to get the necessities of life. So they might become a little humble, a little introspective. Why am I suffering? Why is material nature restricting so much? So that's the present society. People are so sinful, and they're simply being encouraged to become more and more sinful. Day after day, tatashtanudinam dharma, satvam socham dayashama, kalena balira rajan akshantya yogvalam smriti. Day after day, people were losing any principles of religiosity, any principles of mercy, austerity, truthfulness, or cleanliness. We're simply disappearing day after day. And therefore people were not clean, they were not merciful, they were not tolerant, they were not truthful. Their memory was diminishing, their bodily strength was diminishing, and they thought they were making progress. So material nature comes along and she locks everything down. So that maybe people will wake up and start questioning what the actual, is there a God? Is there a purpose of life? Why are we suffering? There may be some questioning. Rather than just endlessly, mindlessly trying to gratify their senses and being promised in the future more and more opportunities for unrestricted sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and I think we've mentioned all of them. There are a few others, but anyhow. Unrestricted sinful activities. The conclusion is that people need transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, they're fools. As Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vimandvitaha vimuro nanapashanti pashanti gyana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Yatanto yoginas chayanam pashantyatma nivasita yatanto yakritatmano naiva pashanti chetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose eyes are not trained, although they may try, cannot see what's taking place. So people have faith in these material scientists who are blind. They don't even know they're not their body, and they're considered to be learned personalities. And therefore, I was hearing a tape today, probably saying, oh, they're just speculating in so-called experiments. They've already been done. They're there in the Bhagavad Gita. But because they're blind, therefore they keep on experimenting, but they'll never see what's actually taking place. They won't see the soul. They won't see the super soul. They won't understand the laws of karma. And therefore, Shrama Eva Kevalam. They try so much, spend so much money, so much endeavor, and the result is negative at best. Simply, they're digging their own demise and making their future and other people's future very unpleasant in the name of so-called advancement of science. That's the advancement of ignorance. And yet they think themselves to be learned, which is just another symptom of being foolish. They're going faster, but they're going faster in the wrong direction because they have no guide. Andaya tangdera upigayamana se pichatantra urudami bara. They're blind and they're following blind leaders, and therefore they don't realize that unless they love Krishna and love everyone else in relation to Krishna, simply they're causing themselves distress and they're causing others distress, and simply they're blind, and therefore by the laws of material nature they'll simply cause more and more suffering. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I have four questions, but they're all related to the topic.
Okay. Hopefully I have four answers related to the topic.
Okay.
Due to the mercy of Narada Muni, Mrigari the hunter became a Vaishnava and his consciousness was purified. But did he have to suffer anyway for all the atrocities he had committed before he became a Vaishnava? Did he have to go to hell?
Well, probably you never didn't have to go to hell, but it depends how much advancement you made. If you go back to the spiritual world, you don't have to worry about any of these things. And not, and, you know, depending on what's remaining.
Second question is that we've learned for today from today's words that we should consider animals as our own sons. But how about why Kshatriyas during the Vedic times, they were killing so many animals in the forest?
For sacrifice and for their duty. Kshatriyas were responsible for, they didn't get simple reactions, but they had to take another body. Like Muchakunda, after he even saw Krishna and spoke to Krishna directly, and then he left the cave and he saw that he was now in Kali Yuga and all the trees were like little small like bushes. Still, he couldn't become directly a Vaishnava. He had to go to the Himalayas and meditate. So in the next lifetime he could become a Vaishnava and preach. Because he had to suffer the sinful reactions of killing animals.
In today's verse it's also mentioned that we should consider even snakes as our own sons. But on another hand, we heard from Srila Prabhupada. I think there is even an example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj.
Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj said that no one is unhappy if one sees a snake is killed or a scorpion.
How to reconcile?
We don't go out of our way to kill snakes.
Okay.
We understand that, you know, but we don't make friends with them either.
Yeah.
It's just a vision, that's all. Even if you kill a scorpion, a snake, it shouldn't be out of enviousness. Mm-hmm. One should understand that they're also Krishna's servants. But if they're dangerous, then they may be killed sometimes. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had the snake killed because it was dangerous.
And the last question, we are not supposed to kill mosquitoes, but I heard that Srila Prabhupada said that we can kill mosquito if it's attacker. If it attacks us.
Yeah.
Is that?
If it's attacker.
Okay. But not otherwise.
Yeah, we don't go around killing mosquitoes either, just for the fun of it. Either we can learn how to catch them and throw them outside. That's an art. We have an online course on it. Okay, anything else? Especially flies are easy to catch. You just go behind them and go... And you can throw them outside and give them the whole world to enjoy. All right, thank you very much. Gurudev Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.